And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table may eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And so she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We don't think a lot about crumbs, do we? We may drop something and in our best, we'll pick up the crumb and do something with it. And in our worst, we'll let somebody else take care of the crumb. This last week, I was sitting at the desk that we have at our house, and I just kept feeling this stuff on the desk. And I was busy trying to get some things done, and I didn't think much of it. And then when I finished, I looked to see what in the world was all over the desk. And someone that lives in my house had sat at my desk and eaten crackers and gotten crumbs all over the desk and decided that they were going to leave it for someone else to clean up. Most of the time, we don't think a lot about crumbs, but sometimes they become an irritant. At other times, if we have a pet, they just disappear. But Jesus does something with some crumbs that I think we need to pay attention to today. Now, leading up to the passage that Michelle read for us today, in the chapter right before, Jesus feeds 5,000 plus people. And then after feeding this multitude, Jesus tells his disciples to get in a boat and to go across the sea to a village named Bethsaida. And while they were crossing the sea, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray. And while Jesus was praying, waves began to get more complicated. Wind was doing some crazy things. And so the disciples were a little bit in a panic. Jesus comes down from the mountain, he looks out, he sees the disciples are having some problems, and he walks on the water out to the boat, gets in the boat, the wind stops, the waves stop, everything's okay. They get to the other side of the lake, and they get out, and people recognize Jesus, and they recognize his disciples, and they bring people to him. Wherever they went, people were brought to Jesus to be healed. So Jesus healed some people. And while he was in this area, some Pharisees and some scribes came to confront Jesus because they didn't like some of the things Jesus was doing. He talks to the Pharisees, tries to show them the error of their ways. And then he teaches the people of the area about how to be part of the family of God. And then he withdraws a little bit with his disciples and he explains a little more to his disciples what he was trying to tell the multitudes, made it more clear to his disciples. But he went around and he was healing people and he was teaching people. And then they decided to get away. They traveled north into Gentile territory in order to get away. And I like the way the New American Standard Bible Version translates the end of verse 24. They went north. He didn't tell anybody where he was staying. And it says, he could not escape notice. Wherever he went, people recognized him. There was an authority about him that wasn't in other people. There was something that maybe people couldn't put their finger on, and people came to him. And then when they realized it was Jesus, when they heard stories about Jesus and realized, I've got a family member that needs to be healed. I've got a friend that needs to be healed. People were brought to Jesus to be healed. So the disciples tried to get away, but people were recognizing them and bringing people to them. And in the passage we read today, there is a woman who hears Jesus is nearby. And she goes to Jesus with a request. In fact, she doesn't just go to him. She falls down at his feet and begs him, do something. Now, Mark includes several outsiders in the stories that he puts down in his gospel. But no one that Mark includes has more strikes against him or her than this woman. She's a woman. Now, that's not a strike today, but in Mark's day, that was a strike against her. She was a woman. She was a Gentile woman. She was a Gentile woman living outside of Israel. She was a Gentile woman living outside of Israel that had a daughter with an unclean spirit. And this woman chose to approach this Jewish leader. She fell at his feet, and she knows that there is an authority about him, but there's also a faith that she's expressing in who he is and what he can do. Now, this woman, concerned about her daughter, she may have even been at the point of being hopeless. I've tried everything and nothing has worked. Maybe this guy can do something. Maybe he is the one that will finally do something that frees my daughter from this unclean spirit. She recognizes Jesus has an authority. She's reached out to anyone and everyone, but nothing has worked. And she falls at his feet. She's dependent on his help. Now, Mark includes this passage about Jesus and this woman, this outsider, who has a daughter suffering from an unclean spirit. And Mark follows this story with another story about an outsider, a deaf outsider that Jesus heals. And Mark includes several passages about Jesus interacting with outsiders who recognize Jesus' authority, or they exhibit faith in what Jesus can do. And in a subtle way, which our passage today doesn't do subtly, but in others, in a subtle way, we see that the outsiders can become insiders. Mark may have included this thread throughout his gospel because at one point he may have felt himself like an outsider. He may have felt that he wasn't one of the people that God had done work in and for. If we fast forward to Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas have gone back to Antioch, and they're teaching and they're preaching to the people in Antioch. And Paul says, hey, let's go and revisit all of the cities that we had been to in our first missionary journey. Let's go back and see how those people are doing. Let's check on them. Make sure that they're still following the way. Make sure they're still following Jesus. Barnabas says, that's a great idea, but I want to bring Mark with us. And Paul and Barnabas have an argument about bringing Mark along. Now, on their first missionary journey, they brought Mark. And somewhere along the way, Mark decided he would rather go home than continue on this missionary journey. So he was sent back home. Paul was fearful if they brought him again, they would get far away from home and he would get homesick again, or he would get whatever it was and they'd have to send him back. So Paul didn't want to bring him. But Barnabas said, we need to bring him. So they decided to go separate ways. Paul takes a man named Silas with him, and they go, and their journey is well documented in the book of Acts. Barnabas takes Mark with him, and we really don't know what happens. We just know that they go a different way. To Paul, Mark was not worthy to make this trip with them. And he probably felt like an outsider. I messed up, and because of what I did, I'm not good enough anymore. I'm an outsider. I'm useless. But tradition says that Mark became the secretary to the Apostle Peter. And he heard the stories that Peter told about his time with Jesus. And Mark began to write those things down, and he compiled them together, and that's where we get the Gospel of Mark, is from the stories Peter told and Mark wrote down. Now, the way that we've got our New Testament, there were many books written, there were many letters written, but the ones that made it in were, they had some sort of a connection to one of the original apostles, Matthew and John, Peter, James, the brother of Jesus. So they had interaction with Jesus on a personal level. But there were others who had interactions with those apostles, Luke, Mark. And so their letters, their gospels were included, and others were excluded because there wasn't as close of a connection to Jesus as these had. So tradition says Mark became the secretary for Peter, and somewhere along the way, Mark and Paul interact more and more. And we read in 2 Timothy that Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, Timothy, I want you to bring Mark back to me because Mark is helpful in my ministry. Somewhere along the way, some redemption happened. Some healing happened. This useless deserter that Mark felt he might have been and Paul might have seen him to be now is someone who is helpful to Paul. And we see in today's passage that someone who the Jews would have seen as useless, this mother of